From the front lines.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
That's the beat. What's up, everyone? What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Big Blue Roundtable. We're going to talk about the off-season program today. Your boy, Steve Azul, is in the house. I'm the professor. Everybody know me already. I'm nutso, but that's okay. That's not what this show is about. This show is about talking about this off-season program and that we're going to have starting tomorrow with the free agents. And we're also going to talk about our players that we just signed here, our new ones. So we're going to talk about that, and a few other things we're going to go over. Steve, where you at, bro? Steve Azul, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, man, what's good, dude? What's up, man? How's everything?
Oh, man. Everything is wonderful. Hey, look, everything's gravy. We're doing the thing in New York City, everyone. We're doing with these sports teams. Everything's looking promising. I love it. It can only go up from here. We got let me tell everybody before we go any further, Steve. Y'all need to check out the Yankees podcast. It's really, really great. Comes on Monday. Steve
needs
that
one,
of course, like he always does. Yankees are starting to upswing. I guess we found out that the only person they needed in that organization to wake up was get the Aaron Boone back, and boom, that's what happened there. So we're swinging up there. There's more than that. Yeah, that's true. But I wanted to just it. Let me see. The Rangers are interested, but I can't. Well, I urge you to watch the Ranger Proud podcast on Tuesdays. This last one is supposed to be interesting. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I missed it, and I'll be tuning into that tonight later on.
Shout outs to Glenn RP. Shout out to Carl, man. Carl's with us tonight, man. He was dropping some gems with the Rangers, man. You know, big guy Nick. Nick Giant Rangers, man. He was spitting some fire with the Rangers on Tuesday, man. Shout out to the C-Notes if he's on with us. But man, that was a good episode.
C-Note, what up, Chief? He'll be right there in a minute. Hey, look, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Bleed Blue Show. I got to say one thing about one more New York sports team before we swing into the Giants. I'm going to say it like this. I know for about 20 years now, at least, on the low end, Steve, California NBA team, there's four of them out there, and they got about eight championships the last 20 years, about that. Right over here in New York City, my city I love, city never sleeps, Big Apple, we ain't won shit since 1973. Most of y'all wasn't even born, and I had to go to school the next day when I saw that shit. All right, so it's real exciting to have two winning NBA basketball teams in New York City right now, but one in particular, the one on 33rd Street at Madison Square Garden. Man, it's a thing of beauty. If you don't know, you better fucking pick up a newspaper. The New York Knicks are fucking flying high right now. They are, yes, those New York Knicks that you laughed at the last 20-some-odd years, they are here. Hey, there's a lot more to say. Please listen to last night's podcast with Knickerbocker Av and Dominic and the crew. It's awesome. And check all the shows off from now on. They're on every Wednesday, man, if you can. The Knickerbocker Av podcast.
Still,
New York Knickerbocker.
We should have won that Laker game,
man. I had to say it.
We should have won the Laker game,
well.
Man.
I know. But look, we're in the playoffs, and we on the upswing. Yeah. Things are going to work out just perfectly. All right, I had to swing it to the Knicks before we landed right here with our team, the Big Blue Cats. Tonight, we're going to talk about, if we can, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about these cats that we just signed today. We signed our number two draft choice. You know what? I'm going to say Ojulari like that because I'm not going to say the first name. But if we signed two more after him, and also we signed our free agents, and we got our undrafted free agents. We're going to talk about that as well. The 929-477-4171 number.
Let me say this, man, because I was going to say before we get into the roll call, like we're going to divide this in two halves. Like Chris said, get into the rookies, drafted and undrafted, and you know rookie minicamp starting tomorrow, and you know what we like. Got questions for rookie undrafted rookies, but everybody. Other half of the show, of course, NFL schedule was released on Wednesday. Get thoughts on that as far as what do you like about the schedule, dislike about the schedule. I'll save my thoughts for that part of the show when we go around for the second go around on the round table.
All right. Let me remind everybody, 929-477-4171 is your Bleed Blue Show Giants number. And that's we're gonna launch it right here with Carl at C-Note. Check in real quick, please. How you feeling, bro?
Pleasant good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Oh, man. I
how you doing, man?
Indubitably.
What's up, Carl? I love it, man.
Hey, Carl.
Yes,
real
sir.
Quick question. It has nothing really to do with the episode. Most important player to their teams this season – playoffs withholding, you know, doesn't matter. Julius Randle to the Knicks or Timmy Panera for the Rangers? Who's more important to the team, playoffs or not?
That's a tough question. I would say, I would have to go with Randle.
Mm-hmm.
I would say Randle.
Real quick.
If you look at the importance to the team, if you look at both squads. If I took Panarin off the Rangers, I don't think the Rangers would sink as far as people would think. But if I took Julius Randle off the Knicks, it'd be a much different story.
It's close, man. I agree. It's close.
Okay.
Doing a KGYR update list probably in a week. And, you know, when you do this list, the top part of the list is not that hard compared to, like, who actually gets into the top 10. That's where I'm, you know, struggle. But, yeah, man, I like that assessment. I can't agree, couldn't agree anymore, man. You know, shout-outs to Carl,
right,
man. All
right. Go ahead, Carl, with that one. Let me see who else is in the house right quick, though, Steele. Who else is in the house here? Let me see.
Yeah.
Let me see. I think there's somebody from Arizona trying to chime in here. Somebody we know on
local. No. I wonder.
Yeah. What's good, everybody? Hey, Steve. The Knicks should have beat Phoenix last week. They should have beat Phoenix, but I don't know what happened.
Yes, they should.
That fourth quarter was terrible. The Knicks fourth quarter was terrible.
Dude, I don't know what happened. What happened? I mean, was the halftime kind of like, you know, they just took their foot off the gas and it all went to shit? I mean, they had a 5-8 point lead going into the half, and then
something like that.
I mean, I don't know if anybody's
playing
the Suns.
Like, no.
I don't know.
The end of the third quarter, they went on a couple of cheap baskets, and they carried in the momentum carry. Like, Payne stole the ball.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, you know, Taj Gibson kind of lost his cool, which I didn't admire him knocking over Chris Paul. Chris Paul pissed me the fuck off last week. But anyway, go ahead, man.
We're in football mode right now. We're also going into the dead of summer in Arizona. It's good to be back on the Bleed Blue Show, man. I'm excited. Tonight's going to be some good topics on signings and the schedule.
Yep.
All right. We're going to swing into that in just a second. Lit, do not go anywhere. L-I-T-I-G, Giant fan of Arizona. Dre Graham is in the house. I ain't heard from you in a minute, man.
Yeah, man. Been busy working. What's good with y'all, man? Everybody's
good. You know what it is? We get ready to swing into it now. You write it home.
Yeah. I know.
All right. Let's stand by. My sister's here. Hey, baby girl.
What?
Doris is on the line.
What?
Hello,
what
everyone.
How you doing?
Yes.
I'm doing good. I got I picked two games that I'm going to.
Okay, no. Don't tell us yet. So hold that thought. That's a whole other show. And because I want to see everybody this year. That's another thing. I'm telling everybody that is within listening range right now. I want to see all of y'all. Sometime. I'm going to 4 games this year now. Y'all got to show up to one of them other.
Okay.
I'll just put it that way, and we'll talk about that at a later date. Right now, let's talk about what we got going on. Welcome, everybody.
Okay.
Big Blue Roundtable, off-season program. Again, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, don't matter. If you put in the Bleed Blue Show, you're going to find us. 929-477-4171. Steve Chris, off-season program. Okay. Yesterday, the schedule was announced, and that just excited the entire freaking world, Steve. Golly, man. It's like everybody lost their mind. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to play who? Oh, man, we don't got a chance here. And this and this and this. It just was kind of whacked out, but I feel pretty optimistic about what's going on right about now, man. I think we're going to have a really, 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 really interesting year. Not to get myself in any jams, okay? But I think it's going to be all right. Let's talk about what we just did.
Mm-hmm.
And Carl,
sure.
Let's start with you. So tomorrow's rookie mini camp. We signed half of our 6 players in the draft class. We signed Ajulari. He's from Georgia. You know who he is. We got to talk about him. And we signed Gary Brightwell. He's our new running back out of Arizona. I think he's picked in the 6th round. And the other 6th rounder was Darius Williams, Oklahoma State. What you looking at when you see guys like that? And also, and then I'm going to ask you later on about the undrafted cats. But what are you looking at when you see these acquisitions, bro?
You know, it's just a matter of trying to, I guess the best way I can put it is try to stack the deck. You know, the Giants have been so short on talent, and they maybe still are, actually, relative to everybody else. So, you know, in this case, you know, with some of these guys, you just hope to just sort of find someone that maybe you strike gold with. You know, you bring in 100 guys, you know, in May, June, July, by the time you get to training camp, and maybe out of, you know, let's say you sign 20 of these guys to show up at training camp. Somebody surprises you. Maybe somebody could play special teams. You know, clearly none of these guys are going to be brought in here to start. It would be a shocker if anybody from this group, you know, immediately emerged in that fashion. So you're really just looking for a guy, perhaps a guy studies film well, pays attention, someone that just, you know, stuff that you would not see on the almost unfootball stuff, just stuff that you would see in the classroom, the day-to-day interaction, you know, that kind of thing that you would see in these early months, and then see what happens as training camp gets started. You know, the one thing, I don't know who said it. It may have been Brady. And I actually kind of agreed with him on this. I don't really believe in the whole mini camp thing. After what I saw last year, where folks are able to do it virtually, you know what? I feel like the in-person stuff is really used as an excuse for coaches just to micromanage. So the fact that they're doing it this year, you know what? I'm not the biggest fan of it myself, but, you know, to each their own.
I'm glad you said that, because that was one of the questions I was going to ask everybody. And matter of fact, if anybody can answer that same question, and Carl, I want you to continue, don't get me wrong, and Chris, stop the clock if you have to. Yeah, are you in favor for the Zoom shit or the in-person shit? I'm glad you answered it without me even bringing that up. I was going to bring that up. Go ahead, man. I'm glad you brought that up.
I am totally for the virtual stuff. I think that those I think they're, at least among some Giant fans, I'm not going to say how much of a percentage it was, but I feel as if those that make the claim last year that the reason why the Giants didn't win more games is because they didn't have their quote-unquote regular offseason program is making an excuse. I think if you took a look at last year and you wrote down before the season ever started, before any training camp had ever started, write down who you think the teams are going to make the playoffs before the season. You probably were about 75% correct. And that was without any any in-person stuff at all. So what is the purpose of these events? What are the purpose of these camps exactly? We already proved that we can do without them. So what really do these serve? It doesn't, to me, in seeing a year of data come in on it, I don't totally see the point in them.
Uh-huh. Well, let's have the whole panel answer the same question. Liz, you are up next. Giants fan of Arizona himself. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Bleed Blue Show. Chris, Stephen, Chris, 929-477-4171. Definition of Liz. Continue this part of the conversation.
You know, something that, you know. Okay. Yeah, I'm here. You know, something that Carl said, as far as, you know, what the direction is as far as the talent, I kind of feel like as far as our draft picks, our unsigned and draft picks, I think at least 60% of them are not going to make the team. They're going to get stashed somewhere, possibly, or piffered off the practice squad. We've also probably drafted the replacements for the prior talent that we have had the past year or two. What was really interesting is drafting that Arizona guy in the sixth round. My question to everybody, do you even think he's got a chance to make the team? Are they going to go with three running backs between the feature back, the backup, and the backup's backup? I mean, I feel like most of our draft picks probably in the later rounds are probably not going to make the team. They're just going to be camp bodies. There might be one individual stellar star that impresses the coaching staff and or Gettleman that gets put on special teams. But, you know, as far as the second round, the middle round, I see them making the team. I don't see – there's a slim chance some of the unrestricted free agents will make the team. Or they'll go to the practice squad, but I just think that they're more going to be of camp bodies. I am really concerned, and I don't know if this is for the episode now or somewhere down the road, but I feel like we've drafted pretty much Zoe Carter or – O'Shane Zimenez replacement with our second pick in the draft. So that on a later show, those are going to be bubble guys. So, you know, as far as the whole Zoom stuff, Carl made a really, really good point. And one of a former call-in guy would always say that gave us a disadvantage. We didn't have the prop for this, the prop for that. Well, look at all the teams that have been, you know, somewhat together or growing together. They seem to do just fine without having, you know, your live OTAs, mini camps, et cetera, et cetera. They did fine on the Zooms. But to me, I honestly think that it can go either way. It's all who you have in, the players, the general manager, the coaching staff. That does sound kind of contradictory, but maybe having the live interaction will have a better outcome. But I don't see having everything via Zoom is going to be a make it or break it for a team, but you can't use that as an excuse because excuses are for losers. That's just my opinion.
Okay, no problem. Okay, Dre Graham, chime in with what Carl and Litt just talked about.
Yeah, as far as the off season and not having the off season last year, me personally, I'm happy that is back, and the main reason why I'm happy that it's back is because, you know, I didn't hear that we didn't do good because it wasn't no OTAs or nothing. All I kept hearing was the excuse, well, Daniel Jones would have did better if it was OTAs. Okay, now we got him back. Now, if he don't do good, there's no excuses. That's just a big excuse to me anyway, because I tell it like it is. He had OTAs, had a fumbling problem. OTAs wouldn't have fixed his fumbling problem. And I have been pretty vocal on the show that's the only thing that's wrong with him. Is if you take away the fumbles, he's accurate as hell. You know, he can ball, but a quarterback with a fumbling problem, that's like quarterback 101. That's like – no matter what you do, it's not going to look good on your resume because you're supposed to have the best hands on the team, and you fumbling. As far as the draft, I think that we did pretty good. I was kind of disappointed. I actually wanted them to get basically a Blake Martinez that can drop back in the passing lane. So basically a linebacker that was a beast at tackling all over the field and then can also drop back in the pass. Because everybody know every time I would hear we got a linebacker, I'm on Facebook like, yo, can he drop back in the pass? That's all I care about. Because right now the underneath is wide open. Yeah, our secondary as far as cornerback, yeah, they're going to be locking people down. But teams jumping off little 4 or 5 yard passes, that's going to be wide open. Because we don't have any linebackers or anybody that could cover the underneath. That was my only problem with it, but that's a little problem. It might bite us in the butt, but hopefully not. But I mean, other than that, I was surprised. I was surprised at how Gettleman was, you know,
okay,
doing his thing. That was surprising me.
All right. Well, I'm gonna just chime in, and I'm going to say before Azul mops up this part of the show, I'm going to say that, hey man, Carl, I love you, man. You are a spot on, great analyst type cat. I love your observances. They are the shit. Yes, indeed. So, and thank you for always being on the podcast and giving us your insight. Honestly, I mean that. But I'm gonna have to disagree with you, bro. Disagree with you, man. Hey, man, I think Cap is very important. I am old school. I think you bring these Kit Kats in and foster competition, aggressiveness, skills, and the whole nine yards by making them want to buy into your system. Or, in this particular case, want to buy into your franchise development or whatever kind of culture you have. Okay? I think it should be a privilege to be a New York Giant if you got drafted by this team. Or you were allowed to come to camp, and you need to. And if you really want to be appreciated, you will fight for this job in every way, shape possible. Now, yet last year was a little unusual. It was a little unusual, and hopefully, particularly after the news today, we're not going to see no nonsense like this anymore, like that anymore. But I think in order for us to up our game, we have to have these We have to have these camps to just see what kind of hand we've been dealt or we set up for ourselves. Real quick, also, don't be surprised if Rodarius Williams outplays Aaron Robinson. You heard it here first. Aaron Robinson can't bring and tackle to save his life. And Rodarius is a little bit quicker, but he got beat up out there because he had a bad injury and the scouts laid off of him at the end of that. And I forgot what the third part was, and so I'm going to go ahead and relay this over to Steve right quick.
Yo, this is a tough question. It's not as easy cut and dry for me because I can understand where Carl's coming from about not necessarily needing the Zoom.
Yeah.
I will say this, though. The reason why I'm kind of giving it a pass just for the Giants, not necessarily for the rest of the league, but for the Giants, because I really want to see Joe Judge with a hands-on camp this go-around. You know, first year, you know, last year, due to, you know, dire circumstances, I wanted to hear all this shit he was talking about as far as being hands-on, this hands-on coach. We're going to be you know, remember he said in the press conference last year, we're going to tackle, we're going to rap, we're going to do all this.
Yep.
Like, I want to see him with the hands-on part with the players. He said he's going to teach and all that. He's going to get back to being blue-collar. But he never really had a fair opportunity to do that because of the Zoom, because of the online world. Now, Carl, it doesn't negate what you're saying because you're absolutely correct as far as the rest of the league, because scoring didn't take a drop.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of maintained, if not gone up, depending on who the team is. So certain teams, maybe veteran-wise, you were able to maintain how you play the game as far as scoring wise, but the Giants, you know, look at them offensively; they were bottom of the league. Look at the Jets, bottom of the league. Young teams, a lot of guys out for COVID for the Jets, but as far as the Giants, I kind of want to see these younger guys under the tutelage of the head coach. I definitely do. Now this goes back to the rookie minicamps for this weekend, right? I don't know how you guys feel. And you guys may have a point. Like, none of these guys will probably not make the team, and that's probably so right. based on the guys that we went with, the undrafted free agents. But there was two guys, not necessarily by the Giants. For instance, Tommy Kramer. I'm surprised he was still available to be signed as an undrafted player. Detroit picked him up. Remember, if you go back to our mock draft, Isaac brought him up, you know, as far as wanting to draft him.
Yep.
I thought Tommy Kramer's a decent guard out of Notre Dame. I'm surprised he didn't. He went through every round and nobody drafted him. That was shocking to me. A guy like Andre Mintz, mm-hmm. a linebacker from Vanderbilt, another guy I thought he would have been, you know, somewhat drafted. And Denver scooped him up in the undrafted free agency. And I'm thinking, like, wow, these are two guys the Giants definitely could have looked into as far as competing for a spot, a rotation, whatever. But they didn't do that. And I'm actually surprised the Giants didn't sign more. I don't know why they did not. Some teams did it. A lot of teams did. But as far as Brett Hege from Florida, you know, I don't think he's going to make the team. Well,
I don't either.
It's tough because he has – well, I'll put it like this. You know where I stand, Chris. We talked about it last time during the draft. I wanted Humphrey.
Yep.
You know, I thought he's on the table.
Humphrey would have been a monster.
Andy redrafted him because the Giants passed on him, and we drafted Robinson, which I don't – I agree with you, Chris. I think that was the bad pick of the draft of all the rounds, right? So we have a guy who actually had a good season in Florida. You know, he was the center for Kyle Trask. They had a very good offense in the SEC East. He started all those games. He's a smart kid. Gets a lot, you know, he has a high GPA, so you know he's getting a nice quality kid. I just think maybe he could get stronger and compete for center against whoever is going to be there. You know, like Gates or whoever who's going to be penciled in at the center. He's not a slouch. I mean, he's not my first pick at center. But you never know with some of these guys. Maybe the Giants thought they could get away with. Like, okay, maybe no team drafts him, and we'll take a stab with him in camp and see what we could work with. I don't know what the other stakeholders have, you know, in thoughts as far as Jake Burton out of UCLA. They kind of, you know, Giants always love those guys who can play all over the line, but I don't think he's making the squad, though, honestly. The guy from Georgia Southern, I just think it's just a sign just to be a signer. We got enough linemen. I don't see that working out unless there's something in his game in that Sun Belt conference that I'm not seeing. You can forget about that. So I'm with you guys. I don't think none of these guys are probably going to make the team, but the center is like almost we have none. I still think we don't have a center. But anybody can probably compete for it. Let's ask the guys, man. What are their thoughts on that? On the guys that we have.
Let me say to Carl, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me say, Carl, at C-Notes, I will say where you do have validity, in my opinion, to what you said, is the fact that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers brought all 22 players and entire coaching staff back, man, without absolutely no issues whatsoever. And they are mincing their camp together with a goddamn yacht party. Tells me where that organization is as far as their thinking is concerned. And Kansas City did something similar, but that's what that is. But, yeah, the original question, Carl, I'm sorry, about what you say about these cats. Oh, by the way, everyone, 929-477-4171, Stephen Chris, Big Blue Roundtable Offseason Program. Carl, it's a C-Notes. You're on.
Okay, so now what was the question that you're put? Because I wanted to cut – I understand the pushback to that in terms of what you were mentioning, Chris, about, you know, the old school and the model of, you know, hands-on teaching. The issue I have with that is that, you know, the teams that were expected to be bad last season were bad, and the teams that were expected to be good last season were good. Like, I can't, like, treat the Giants as, like, they were this, like, special cause, this special situation that needed this sort of, like, unusual tender love and care in order to be successful. I have a very difficult time conceding that part. The Cleveland Browns had a new head coach. Didn't hurt them. You know, there were other teams that had new head coaches. Didn't hurt them. You know, how are the Giants somehow different in this aspect than everybody else?
Is that a question?
Well, I'm posing that to you. Let's think about. I mean, just think about it. Like, if other teams were able to be successful with new head coaches, right, how is it that somehow the Giants needed to have all this extra stuff to all this micromanage? Like, I just don't understand that part. Someone help me.
Well,
I'm just trying to figure this out.
Gusty.
Well, is that basically what I said about what Joe Judge said? I'm trying to give Joe Judge the benefit of the doubt. I understand what you're saying as far as either you got it or you don't. But what I'm saying is what Joe Judge said when he first came onto the scene from his press conference, he was the one who said, we're going to teach how to rap and tackle, be a more of a sound team. He was selling that as a bill of sale to the fan base, which I'm all for. So I'm just saying that I don't think he got a fair shot in that angle or that aspect of what he said he was going to do. So he only got the Zoom aspect. I said, okay, we got the Zoom aspect. Let me get the other aspect to, okay, practice what you preach, bro. So it's more about what Joe Judge was, okay, we got to give him, you know, I can't get on him for, you know, he didn't come off like an online coach, you know. So I want to see things in real time, face-to-face in 3D. based off what you said in that press conference on how you're going to make us a better football team. But to your point, as far as Cleveland and on these other teams, yeah, you're right. I agree with that. Yeah, they were ready to go as far as, you know, filling the holes that they need, especially that Cleveland needed to just repair their offensive line, and they were on their way. You know, Beckham got hurt, but it got them to the second round. You know, I'll give you that.
Yeah, so that's all. That's the only point I was making.
One size fits all doesn't work. That's all I was saying. But I get it. I get it, Carl. Actually, I know where you're coming from.
No doubt.
All right. Dre Graham, real quick. Chime in, please. No, sorry, Dre. Stand by. Liz, you jumped in here.
Hey. You know, so let me just fire off this real quick question to everybody here. And, I mean, this kind of, I guess, would be in support of C-Note. But let's just say hypothetically that the Giants were the only team last year to have live practices, drills, whatever you want to call it, and the rest of the league went on Zoom calls. Would the outcome of the wins and losses be the same, or based on the talent that we had, it wouldn't have mattered in the trenches, live practices or Zoom calls? Would it have really have mattered for the Giants?
That's a question for everybody. That's a question for everyone. Dre Graham, answer that one.
All right, that's kind of a tricky question to ask because, okay, we did have the OTAs last year. You know, would Saquon had a got injured? I mean, or if he didn't get injured, if he didn't get injured, would it even really made a difference, like he said, with, you know, the talent that we had? So I don't, that's kind of tricky because of the Saquon factor. It's, you know, because you never could tell because the year before last, The reason why I understood and got the Andrew Thomas pick right on the first round was because I was looking at it as Saquon's the face of the team, and we were trying to prevent what happened to him last year to happen. And like I told you guys year before last, Thomas wasn't the best offensive guard, but by far he was the best run-blocking guard. And that's why we picked him, because he was a beast in college, run blocking. All around, the Alabama offensive guard was the best all-around guard. But we did that to try to protect Saquon, and it didn't work because Thomas was, you know, he was still a little bit raw, and he got better on the second half, but that didn't help Saquon out because he was already injured. So, I don't know. That's kind of hard, man. I can't really – answer that, because none of us know if Saquon was in, you know, what would have happened. I say this, it probably would have helped a little bit. Just a little bit. Okay. But,
Okay.
I don't know.
Chris, Steve, can you guys chime in? Chris, Steve, can you guys
chime in
on that?
Yes, chime in. Do you want me to chime in?
I'd like to hear you and Steve, to the question.
Oh.
If we were the only teams that got the actual offseason and no other NFL team had it, they had Zooms, would the outcome been the same or different?
I just don't think there's – look, man, it's like child care. All these kids are not the same, man. You know, it's not one size fits all. The Giants, look, the Giants were basically what you guys are forgetting. I hope not. I'm not really sure you are or not, but hey, the Giants were pretty much in disarray last off season. Okay, even before the pandemic. Okay, there were issues going on already that we
really.
Yeah, there were. You know, we got a new coach. We never. So
Steve, you know,
to Steve's point, we never really the head coach never really got a strong footing the way he wanted to implement anything. We had what else happened? What happened? There was other shit, but I don't care. Look, the point is, I don't think there's one size fits all of this. I just think that this was a very special breed. I don't think we were prepared like other squads were. It could have been anything. I just don't not. I'm not going to say though that I have a doubt on whether or not camp works or preparation matters or just basically the fact that we need to plan. It's not as impertinent or important as it should be. Nah, man, you gotta plan. You gotta have your coaches in there, right? Just like you develop game plans every week, you gotta develop the plays. And part of that is mini camps and exhibition games and tryouts and things of this nature. You gotta do that. This is football. It's a physical game. They also added another damn game this season to everyone. So now. You're talking about durability and longevity. It's needed. It really is needed. That's just all I'm saying. But I also understand where you're coming from. You know, how much is it needed? Is it necessary? You know? So, I don't know. That's just how I'm looking at it.
I would say it's kind of needed especially for the rookies, man. I think it is needed more for the rookies than anything. I mean, you look at our roster. The tackles, Pert and Thomas. Look how Thomas just looked so bad coming out of the gates. Like, it's kind of like, okay, you've seen him out of the gates through, the, you know, from a Zoom offseason. Let me see him with a hands-on offseason and see how that goes. Then you could have a full assessment. It's kind of like almost an incomplete, so you see it both ways. But if you're projecting it, I would hope the Giants would be better as far as, you know, play-to-play, like with certain guys on, you know, the guys 2 years and under. And that would include Daniel Jones, the quarterback. Slightly better, but I don't think enough to win the division. I still say they wouldn't win the division, honestly. I would just say that maybe just getting better to the point where you're not making as many mistakes and missing assignments. Or you would give it the benefit of the doubt if it was more hands-on for more of the younger guys. Because I thought, you know, as far as defensive guys, the veterans, I thought – overall, they're excellent. So that's kind of how it's a very loaded question. I like it though. I like it a lot, Lit and Carl and Chris and Dre and Doris. I really do. All right, Chris, I think we could jump into the schedule for the Giants. And let me say this. I won't take long because I want to. Let me say this. I don't think this is a bad schedule at all. Based on, of course. You know, where we fall and all this other stuff. I just thought it was weird. Let me say this. Here's the quick points for how I looked at it when I looked at it. I thought it was weird to have a 4:25 p.m. opening day versus the Broncos, you know, like, why 4:25? The issue I have with the 4:25 start is you have a 4:25 start and then literally you have a Thursday night game after that. Like, if you're going to do that, why not play at 1 o'clock on Sunday? Why got to play at 4 o'clock on Sunday, first game of the year? I don't like that. You know what I'm saying? I don't necessarily have an issue with the Thursday night game right away because it is what it is. Like, all teams, you know, a lot of teams go through that depending on the year. But I just don't have – I have an issue with the 425 and then turn around and have – you got to go down to Maryland and play the Redskins, the Washington football team. All right?
Washington, I mean. Yeah.
So that's my issue with that. The back-to-back games at New Orleans, at Dallas. I don't think that New Orleans is going to be as tough as it used to because Breeze is no longer there. Still a good team down there in the Saints, but that's a little barometer for the Giants, you know. But what really also sticks out those two Monday night games in Kansas City and Tampa Bay in November, like woo, a couple of weeks apart. Like, man, talking about the Hornets nest, the two teams that were in the Super Bowl.
I know.
We got to go to their house on Monday night. Fuck,
you
know
what
I'm saying? Yeah. But my last point of the schedule, what I saw, the schedule's not bad. It's just I'm just highlighting the things I saw. Like, man, damn, really? Three, of course, like all teams, you played your division last couple of games of the year. But the one game, we play every team in the division, the last three out of four. But the one, the non-division team that we play is in Chicago, like after New Year's Day. You know how cold it's going to be in fucking Chicago? Like, damn, what if?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I mean, damn, we got to be. It's probably gonna be brick out there. So I mean, Carl could definitely speak on that. But I don't think the schedule's all that bad. I just don't like certain things about like the 425 shit. You know what I'm saying?
Carl, what say you, Carl?
So the 425 opening day. The reason why that is they did that is what I've referred to as Rodgers insurance. If you notice, the Packers are also scheduled to play at the exact same time on opening day as well. And so I think what happened is that the networks were hedging their bets that if Green Bay trades Rodgers to Denver, well then boom, they've got their TV game set up. But if he doesn't get traded, then they already have their TV game set up. So that's the reason why that happened. That's my belief, 100%. And I think there's another game this season, I think midway through the year, where it's a very similar situation where they have a big national game. I think it's against the Chiefs, the Packers do. But if Rodgers gets traded, I think the Cowboys play, I think it's Denver, the same day or something like that. So it's all sort of lined up that way. So that's the reasoning behind that. The schedule, hey, listen, if you're telling me that Rodgers is not going to play, then I think it's a good barometer right off the bat to find out how much improved the team is with this Denver game. I did find it pretty interesting that the point spread came out, and I think if I have this correctly, the game is a pick'em game as of right now. Like, I was very stunned by that, which tells me that it looks like the way the perception of the public is and how this line has been set is that they believe that both the Giants and Denver are very even teams. But I think that if the Giants were to somehow lose that, you know, the first game of the season to Denver, no way. That cannot happen. The rest of the games, you know what? Last year we talked about them potentially starting 0-4, 0-5, and that's pretty much what happened. This time, you know, you look at the first three games, I feel as if 2-1 is a more than fair expectation. You know, if anything is less than that, then something has gone terribly wrong.
All right. Lit. Jason. Okay. There we go. So, you know, back to the past 3-4 years, we got the league minimum for national televised games. I'm okay. We deserve to play Washington on Thursday night football. Our record is what we are. Obviously have to play a Thursday night game. So be it. We're playing a Thursday night game. It's pretty much an evenly matched matchup between two NFC East trying to figure themselves out. I'm cool with that. I was a little upset that we're given, and I have a very awkward, just a unique way of looking at things from a perspective. I feel like we're being rewarded where we shouldn't, where we need to prove ourselves. We're being rewarded, and I'm upset because I can't go. We're being rewarded
with two Monday night games against the NFC East, the NFC champ and the AFC champ, all right? We shouldn't be playing Monday night against those teams with how we are in a rebuilding stage. I think we should have got something like Carolina, Atlanta, maybe the Raiders. But to be given that, I was a little like, man, we need to earn a prime time slot against those A-tier top-flight teams. Do you agree or disagree?
Okay, they weren't well, given that.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, bro.
Oh, I was going to say, they weren't given that slot because of the Giants. They were basically being thrown to the Wolves. That's what happened. They're not giving it. Anyone tuning into that game is not tuning in to watch the Giants play that day unless you're a Giants fan. They put that game on specifically for those two teams, the Bucks and the Chiefs. Nobody else.
Dre Graham, chime in real quick.
My take on it is, man, I was just happy that the first game wasn't a division game because. Let's keep it real. From 2007 all the way to now, how many first games have we won? Two, maybe three? You're talking over 10 years. So I know who was that the first person that comment said that he didn't think that Denver and us matched up evenly, you know, in the game. I do. Know why? Because it's a week number one. It's a week one Giants team where in the past we've been garbage first game of the season. It's like we're a JV football team or something. For some reason, we don't get the fast start. And I know Denver hasn't really been good in the past years. So that's why I say it evenly matches up because they're playing us week one. I'm happy that we play in Dallas, what, week five, week six, week five, right? Because
yeah.
That's when we started to show improvement around that time. So we have a better chance to be in Dallas week five than I think that we would week one. Come on, guys, you got to remember, before RG3 got to Washington, the reason why I'm saying RG3, because when RG3 got to Washington, Washington became a little bit of a contender that year. Now, I think it was a year or two before RG3 got to Washington. We lost to Washington game one. Now, keep in mind, that was the time when, like, for four or five straight seasons, the whole division swept Washington, us, Philly, and Dallas. Every year, we beat them twice a year. They lost six games in the division every year. Until they played us that one game, the beginning of the year. You guys remember that? And they beat us the first game of the year.
I remember.
We the one that
remember.
Broke that curse. Yeah, we the one that broke that curse. So we're not
I
a
remember.
Very good football team week one.
And my answer is very steep. Very steep. My answer is very short. I'm gonna throw it over to Steve. My answer is very short. This is an industry thing, man. It's about commerce and marketing. You know, every year for 11 years, the opening Thursday night or Sunday night game was the Giants-Cowboys. This time,
yep,
it's Tampa Bay and the Cowboys. Okay? And we got rewarded, to use that word, with a nearly prime time game against Denver. To basically cover the West. That's all that is. That was our reward, you know, pat on the back, brand new leash to walk with type shit. That's what that is. The Giants are the kings when it comes to, look, the Giants, you've seen it. You've seen us have 3 and 13 years where we've had two Monday night games, a Thursday and a Sunday, or two Sundays and a Monday, okay, because of this market. This market needs to be addressed. But to Dre's point a second ago, we really are not endless. We're really not a very good football team in terms of the field itself.
Marketability.
But we
have marketability.
But we have to be addressed. That's why we got that late that late game on Sunday. And also, Steve, you got a point. We turn right around and we do the Thursday, too. There's a reward here. That's the real reward for them taking that game away from us, the opening big-time game. So that's what happened
it,
there.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Right, right, right.
That's exactly
well,
what
yeah, I agree with
that.
Reward. I would agree with that. I would say that if, you know, over the last couple of years, injuries kind of, you know, hasn't really been as bad as it used to be, especially under the Coughlin years. Remember how often we used to get on here and we used to have that injury bug under Coughlin? Not as,
yep.
you know, we had some
yep.
Under McAdoo, but over the last, you know,
yep.
with Shermer and a Judge, you know, we kind of got out of things. You know, I didn't think we have been as injured. So the Thursday kind of works only, mainly if we are not as injured going, you know, coming from camp, going into week one, if we got all of our bodies, you know, it kind of works in our favor. Because usually if you're late in the year, you're kind of more beat up. You're probably more injured in gameplay. So, yeah. And then if you want to look at it like that, Chris, as far as, okay, well, we're going to throw you to the Wolves in Kansas City and Tampa Bay in the same month. In 3 weeks apart on Monday
yep.
night, we'll at least give you the
yep.
Thursday night game early in the season. I can live with that. And you got the bye week is kind of usually where it is. It has been for the last several years. So I guess that's
correct.
An okay trade-off.
Correct. All right. So I have a real quick question. It's kind of a curveball. Out of all these players that we mentioned tonight, I want to know what everybody who's your favorite. Who do you think is going to be surprising to you in terms of play? I just want to know what you think. I'm going to just pick your brains. This mini camp starts tomorrow. We don't need to be surprised. I just want to know what you guys think about that. Charlotte, just see notes. Who do you see jumping out that we just drafted or undrafted and is ready for the camp tomorrow?
Ooh, I don't have a particular player in mind, but you know what? The kid that they drafted in the first round, I think
yes.
you'll know pretty early whether or not he can play or not. I remember an old story that was told about Desmond Howard when he came into the league, and I don't know if it was Daryl Green but he mentioned that there were a couple of defensive players on Washington when he got drafted who knew within 2 days of practice that he couldn't play. And he was taken like third or fourth in the draft that year. Like they knew right off the bat. Like it didn't take long. And so I'm wondering with him, because there's been, I find it pretty odd now that there's been like a lot of revisionist history now about this guy. Like how, oh, he's the steal. Oh, everybody wanted him. And I'm like, wait a second. None of us were talking about him in any level of the other three receivers that were drafted earlier. And nobody has
That's
mentioned
right.
him being selected in the top 15. But now all of a sudden, if you
That's
read,
right.
you know, if you read stuff now, it's like, oh, this guy's a steal. This guy's this. And I'm like, well, wait a second. You'll probably know with him really early whether or not he's good. And maybe this will be the time
okay.
to find out.
Okay. Lit. Same question. Good perspective, Carl. I told
you. You know, listen, Chris, I'm going to go with Philadelphia's native son, the running back from Arizona, is going to surprise everybody. I was just watching some film on him, you know, down in Arizona, and I think if I were to say someone in the later rounds or an unrestricted free agent or, you know, an undrafted free agent, I think we're probably going to go with three running backs. I think Gary's going to probably surprise everybody. I just got this thing that he's going to, you know, that's going to be the guy that you wouldn't think was going to make the draft, the team, due to the fact that he's drafted so late. Saquon coming back, the free agent signing. I think he's the guy.
Okay. Dre Graham, you too, real quick.
I want to actually see how the linebacker / edge rusher that we got, you know, from Georgia. Mainly because I wanted us to pick. I'm not gonna lie. Actually, I wanted us to pick a linebacker first round and then, you know, get a receiver second round, but. my thing was I wanted us to pick the Missouri linebacker, Bolton, because not only do he get after the ball like Martinez, he drops back in coverage, exactly what I was talking about. So I was looking at the linebacker from Tulsa, but my thing on him was he was too big. He was big, but he ran a 4.5 in the 40, so he was quick, but I just thought that his size just was going to keep us away from him because he was a baller too, dropping back in the pass and, you know, a ball hawk. So I really want to see how he's going to do because I hear that he could drop back in the pass too, but, I mean, if he could drop back in the pass, why is everything so focused on him edge rushing? We drafted him as an edge rusher. So,
yeah.
You know, I want to see where that's going to go. Yeah, I want to see where that's
okay.
going to go because he's definitely a beast at edge rusher. Don't get me wrong. He's a beast. I want to see if he could bring that, you know,
right.
bring that on
let
the
me,
team. And,
let me
and
chime in
because
real quick,
some,
we got 3 minutes to go here.
Yeah.
All right. I just want to say I agree with Dre. Look, Ojulari's built like a fucking superhero. He's a four-star recruit. Look, this cat is the man. Y'all seen him in the Sugar Bowl just ball out with his four tackles and his sack. He dropped because of the arthritis in his hip. And just like that, I always have an appreciation when Belichick gets pissed when he just misses a player. So that was enough for me right there. But trust me, this is the guy, the way he bursts, the way he alters tempo, and the way he plays big-time football against the best competition, like when he dogged Alabama last year, that's the guy I want on my team to edge rush to represent the Giants' best trait, which is great linebackers. Okay, real quick, baby, everybody give me one quick line, Matt, for the final thoughts, please. Carl, at C-Notes, you start off.
Well, got the final thought. I got the vax. Road trip season is back. New Orleans, October the 3rd. Here we come. Inquire within. It's going down. Come on through.
All right. Now we'll see you in Dallas. I will see you in Dallas, Carl. I just want to put that out.
Oh! Let's go.
Yeah, I will see you. I'll see you there.
Great
trip
is in. Great trip is in.
That's right. It was going to be a little ugly, but I'll be out there with you. But I can't do Chicago, man. I can't do that. I'll be recording, man. I can't hang with that. But I'll be there. I'll be in Dallas.
I'm not doing that. I'm not freezing.
Okay. Lit, what say you?
You know, I kind of feel like a breath of fresh air that we're kind of going into natural football. We're going to get back to what we do. As a group, as a collective, I am just, you know, we're not really going to talk about where we're going, when we're going. I just can't wait to see everybody when I see you all. That's it.
Okay. That's my man, Lit. Dre, say something real quick, man. Real quick.
Yeah, I think I'm a, final thought. I think I'm gonna hit up the two Monday night games mainly because my job got me on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off, Thursday through Sunday work period, which sucks.
All right. I'll see you at one of them. I'm gonna thank you, Dre, Sister Doris, Lit, James, fan of Arizona, Carl, my man, who's Carl at the C-Notes. Check him out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Remember to check us out on iTunes, Podcast Republic, Stitcher apps, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Like us on our Bleed Blue fan page and our video episodes and all the Yankee, Rangers, and Knickerbocker app shows also. And I'm gonna swing it over to the great Azul right now. Peace, two fingers. Go ahead, bro.
We done, man. Good episode on Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday. Check out the schedule over the weekend as we update. We got probably baseball on Monday and just the basketball on Wednesday. So two episodes next week, baseball and basketball. I'm done, man. Good episode. Good talking.
Great talk. Hey, Sangre Azul, everyone. This was the sheesh. This was dope conversation. Everybody out there listening, remember, this is the place to call. Please, Blue Show. Check out the Facebook, Instagram, all that shit. Sangre Azul. Peace, two fingers, y'all. Can you dig it?
Can
you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.